Christian men, want to be a better husband? Want to be a better father? Well, here's the good news and the bad news. The good news, you already know you'll have to die for your family. The bad news, that's the easy part. In How to Lead Your Family, Dr. Joel Beakey gives you a short, practical, and deeply biblical guide to manhood in the home. Learn how Christ's sacrifice shapes your leadership. Gain the wisdom of decades of godly marriage and fatherhood, and step boldly into the role God has given you. How to Lead Your Family by Joel Beakey. Available now at Reformation Heritage Books at heritagebooks.org/howtolead. That's heritagebooks.org/howtolead. Welcome to the Shepherd's Crook Podcast. This ministry exists to provide coaching, resources, and events for pastors and church members. My name is Jared Sparks. Join me as I talk pastoral ministry, applied theology like manhood and womanhood, political theology, and cultural analysis with a little bit of hunting and fishing thrown in. I'm a husband, a father, and a pastor, and I'm here to remind you of the chief pastor and our King, Jesus. Hello and welcome back to the show. Hope you guys are having a great day today. We just got back from the intensive. It was a really great 3 days on the river. Can't wait to tell you all about it. And then we're going to get into chapter 24 in the London Baptist Confession and talk about the civil magistrate. Let's go ahead and pray and ask for God's help as we always do. And we're going to trust that he's going to give us help. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. I ask for blessing upon the next few minutes as I'm working through the doctrine of the civil magistrate as presented in the London Baptist Confession. God, thank you that we have in your word and in history a robust political theology and understanding of government and its role in all spheres of life. And so help us now as we navigate these things. Thank you for a successful intensive trip this year. It was so much fun. I thank you for all the new guys that were there. I thank you for all the old guard that was back and the fun that we had. Also, thank you for the protection that was there and for Andrew and his willingness to come and teach. So we just thank you, and I just ask for blessing upon this time now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we had a great trip. Nobody got hurt, unlike me getting hurt yesterday after church. It's the Lord's Day. We had a great Sunday, and then we go out to play a little football on Sunday afternoon, and we pass the football around, and we're just having a good time and playing one-on-one and just having a great time, laughing and playing and going toe-to-toe, the boys versus each other. I'm usually the all-time quarterback, but this time Ransom wanted to be the quarterback for Valor, and I make this amazing one-handed catch. I mean, I'm telling you, I looked like Rod Woodson out there. I jumped up, grabbed the ball, came down, and then tried to juke, and I found out that if you have a field full of yard moles and sinkholes and ruts from tractors and all the other kind of things, that you really can't juke that well. And I actually fractured my foot. So I'm sitting here with a braced foot, and I'm supposed to take 3 to 4 weeks off. I'm not going to try to Cam Haynes it and run 250 miles on a broken foot. And there's just no way that Cam Haynes had an actual fractured foot. It has to be some sort of stress fracture or some sort of hairline fracture or something like that, or not really a fracture, but a bone crack, something to that effect. But I got a full-blown fracture, and so I'm in recovery mode. But unlike me playing football yesterday, we had a great trip. Nobody got hurt. We did have some people flip. I think we had one canoe that flipped about 5 times and several others that flipped as well. But nobody was seriously injured. We had some bruises and cuts and a little bit of blood, some nerves that were shaking a little bit, but it was fun. If you don't know what I'm talking about, this is the 7th annual Shepherd's Crook Intensive. We went to Eminence, Missouri. We floated 20 miles the first day and I think 11 miles the second. And on that 20-mile float, the river was a pretty good height. It was a little higher than last year, but not the raging levels of 2020 where we almost, quite literally, almost all died. This year, nobody was in that death moment, but we did have two moments where the canoes that got sunk, I thought for sure were going to be gone. One moment we had where canoe went under, everybody's stuff was tied into the boat, and I didn't think there was any way we were going to get this boat out. I was just telling the guys, walk away, walk away. And about 5 or 6 of the guys made a human chain and were able to get over there into this area where the water had pinned this canoe against a tree underwater, and they were able to shake this thing and pop it out of there. And Derek was able to dive into the water and go swim, and as a good deacon, went and swam down and got that canoe and pulled it to shore, and we were able to salvage that canoe. Then the second canoe went under. It was the Schweitzer boys, and it was in Brandon McNeely's boat. Well, it went under and got wedged into a tree, and we thought for sure that that was gone too, and they were able to get it and get it out of there, and I ended up being the one that had to dive out and track that boat down, and we ended up getting it, and nobody ended up being hurt, which is a great thing. It really is a good trip, and when we say it's an intensive, there are some intense moments, and I want it to be like that. I want you guys to be sore a little bit by the time we get back on that first day float, and I think we accomplished that goal this year. It really, you know, there's a lot of great experiences you can have. There's a lot of great retreats, retreat centers. There's a lot of good ministries out there. But I think this event is a unique event that blends a trip with beautiful places, getting out and doing challenging things, and having a good time with a group of brothers, with a really a small group of guys. We had 42 guys, I think, this year, which I think was our largest event ever. And what other event can you have 42, 45, 50 guys and have people like Andrew Isker come and talk, and have people like last year with Adam Robles, and then this next year, I've already got it nailed down in the books, we have Dr. Jim Orrick coming, and then Bill Smith is most likely going to be there. He's letting me know for sure, but it looks like both these guys are going to be there, and then a good buddy of mine, Sam Kaiser from California, is going to be there as well. And overall, combining everything that this trip is, I don't know if there's a better event. I mean, I'm a little biased because I've been there every single year now, but it is a really special time. Fathers and sons together, guys from their church, bonding, having a good time, having a great time around a fire, eating some food together, floating down a river together, getting some fly fishing in, like Justin Hall and his son, and it's just a wonderful time. So next year, May 7th through the 9th, would love to have you there, and reach out to me. Would love to have you go ahead and sign up and register, and then you can be on the books for coming to Eminence, Missouri next year. It was a lot of fun. Thank you guys for all coming. Really appreciate it, and it is just an honor to be a part of. So continue to come. Bring some extra guys next year. We got room for a couple hundred guys, so if you want to fill up a bus and bring a bus, please do that. You'll have more information, obviously, as the year goes on. Okay, we're going to be in the London Baptist Confession, Chapter 24. This is a notable difference from the Westminster, because there's the first and original Westminster Confession, chapter 23, and then there's the amended version, the American version, and that had to do with basically the civil government and the structure that was different from England at the time of the Confession and our country, and the adaptions that needed to be made based on just differences and differing applications of political theology from one nation to another. So on the civil magistrate, there was amendment in the Westminster Standards in 1788. I think the OPC and the PCA both affirm the new chapter on the civil magistrates in chapter 23. We're going to focus in on the Baptist Confession, however, and really appeal. I don't know if you're a Presbyterian, how you're not a Christian nationalist, if you consider your third paragraph in the American version of the Confession, and if you appeal back to the original Westminster, then you are definitely a Christian nationalist, and I don't know how you'd argue the contrary. But let's go ahead and get in and dive into paragraph one. God, the supreme Lord and King over the world, hath ordained civil magistrates to be under him over the people for his own glory and public good, and to this end hath armed them with the power of the sword for defense and encouragement of them that do good and for the punishment of evil doers. This is incredibly helpful for the church today. And this is very similar. There's common themes that run through this chapter in the Westminster as well. But what we need to note is that God is supreme over everything and hath ordained the civil order. So the civil realm, the civil magistrates, they have the sword, been delegated the sword. And that's been regulated as God would regulate that power of the sword by words like justice, defense of the good, and encouragement of the good, and for the punishment of the evildoer. So it's been relegated power by God, or delegated power by God, and then it's regulated by God. And it has to do with these ideas of justice, goodness, punishment for evil. And that is how the civil magistrate is to function. The civil magistrate has the sword, the father has the rod, and then the church has the keys. And we have to understand those distinctions. I wish this chapter had keys language just to make sure that we know the civil magistrate does not have the keys of the kingdom. Now, you see that in the Westminster in chapter 3, in paragraph 3. Now, back to paragraph 2. It's lawful for Christians to accept and execute the office of magistrate when called thereupon when called thereunto, in the management whereof, as they ought especially to maintain justice and peace, according to the wholesome laws of each kingdom and commonwealth, so for that end they may lawfully now, under the New Testament, wage war upon just and necessary occasions. This is an appeal to just law at the end of the paragraph, but before that, there is liberty for the Christian to function in the office of the Christian, in the office of the magistrate. It is the realm of Christian authority. The magistrate should not be delegated into secular hands as if Christians have no part in it. We are not Anabaptists. We are not Amish. We're not pacifists. And this paragraph makes that very clear. And we need more Christians to lawfully accept and execute the office of this magistrate, because if you don't, if Christians don't, then evil people will, and they will have no frame of reference for this Christian language. The way the magistrate is supposed to function is in accordance and under the very law of God. And if a magistrate doesn't understand the law of God, then he can't properly function in the way this office is intended to function. It is critical for magistrates to understand the words good and evil and justice and righteousness that they rule or serve for the glory of God. Paragraph 3. Civil magistrates being set by God for the ends aforesaid, subjection in all lawful things commanded by them, ought to be yielded by us in the Lord, not only for wrath, but for conscience sake, and we ought to make supplications and prayers for kings and all that are in authority, and that under them we may live quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. Praise be to God. This is what we want. We are to follow magistrates and understand the Christian doctrine of hierarchy, of inferiority and superiority. And I would like to say also that we have to understand, even in this confession, we have to understand how a constitutional republic functions. We, as American citizens, are different, are in a different governmental system and structure than the original writers of this confession. And yet, this is a pretty malleable confession when it comes to this, because, for instance, in the second paragraph, it says that they ought to especially maintain justice and peace according to the wholesome laws of each kingdom and commonwealth. So it was intentionally made to be somewhat like a Swiss Army knife. This can work well in different places and different countries and different systems of government. But Christians in this country have to understand that in a constitutional republic, we have governing powers and authorities. We, the people of the United States of America, those that we elect represent the people, and we hire and fire them with our own authority. We've talked a lot about this over the years, but it needs to be stated again. Now, if you read through this confession and then flip over and read the two chapters, the original chapter and the amended chapter in the Westminster Confession, you're going to find a lot more material. Material that I think is quite helpful, and some material that I wish the Baptists would have incorporated, particularly in paragraph 3. However, that being said, there's always more that could be included in a confession. And so just believing that there could be more added to a confession does not mean you're making exception to a chapter or the paragraphs. And so with that said, chapter 24, I am a full subscriber on the civil magistrates. We are moving through this confession. We only have 7 chapters left to go, and then we're going to dive back into weekly content that's going to be different from week to week, but we're going to not be doing another long series for, I don't know, maybe a year or two. But we're going to push pause on doing long series and do week-to-week content. So be looking for that. Also, I have some great interviews coming up. I'm interviewing Ryan Kirby, who is an artist who does outdoor art to such an exceptional degree that his work is featured on the cover of the new Field & Stream magazine. It's incredible work. I can't wait to have that interview be released. I think you guys are really going to enjoy that. And then I'm going to be having Dr. Tom Maskell on to talk about his life in the outdoors, specifically talking about his bear hunt from last year, and that should be a lot of fun. Okay, guys, thanks so much for coming back. Hope you guys have a great rest of your day.
Thanks again for listening to the Shepherd's Crypt podcast. For more information, you can go to theshepherdscrypt.co. Please consider leaving a rating or review on iTunes. And if you want to become a member of the Shepherd's Crypt, please message me and we'll get you on the list. We hope you have a great rest of your day.